everyone. Welcome back to SALT Conference, talking about online church here with Jason Morris. I'm Joey Santos. Session number 3. We're going to talk about online discipleship. We'll just dive right into it. Jason, do you know, discipleship has been online discipleship has been a huge challenge, I think, across the church. I experienced those challenges. I got an opportunity to talk with Ryan Sharp from Life Church. And it's kind of interesting that one time he's like, Joey, we're trying to figure out all this thing all over again. We have to redesign this, how this works. And I think, I don't know if you agree with me, I think it's because the culture changes constantly in how people are not only getting content, but like connecting through the content. And I think that's a big part of it. But I think that one thing we gotta walk away, I would say, from is the idea, number one, is that you can actually not have a real relationships or develop a real relationships unless you're face-to-face. What we're doing right now, we're actually face-to-face. You can see me, and then eventually I can see you and we can talk. And online discipleship, that's happening. People are actually meeting face-to-face, is just through technology. So the face-to-face actually happens, but the way you go about actually changes a little bit. And to me, discipleship is a really fancy word to describe what our relationship with people should look like. You know, I think discipleship is a word we use that at the end of the day is about us being able to reach out to somebody, develop their relationship, and grow together in Christ as we go through this journey. So I think we got to talk about some touch points here as we go through this, because online discipleship, I think, has been attached too much into online Bible studies. And online discipleship is a lot bigger than online Bible studies. You're going to study the Bible, that's great, but that's not what online discipleship is. The same way that's on-site discipleship program is about sitting in the room and having conversations and walking across the room and reaching out to somebody, you're going to do the same thing online. And I think the part of that is that people are doing this every day. That's Facebook right there. Like, people are having relationships, they're having this exchange every day. So number one thing, let's shift this thought that online discipleship is not just a Bible study. It's not just a Zoom call to do Bible study. So it's not about the technology you use to connect people, but how you use it and how you make that relational. How you make that moment that you have with somebody that you're online with, that you can like, okay, let's just have a real conversation. Let's talk about life, and you can actually have those conversations. And that's how we have done this. So one of the things that I think has changed for us is that we started by, first of all, coaching or educating our online people first about this value. I wanted the value of discipleship to change online, to go from simply us sitting together in our houses and let's look at the scripture together. And I'm not saying there's no value in that. I'm saying the value increases when the primary goal is to actually develop a relationship with somebody. A good example of that is that recently in a Zoom conversation, one-on-one, it was not just 10 people in the room, it's just a Zoom conversation with one-on-one, I was sharing my personal salvation experience. And automatically that triggered the other person to say, here's my salvation experience. And the conversation just took off. It took off and Tim was like, let's talk, and went into talking about life. And that led into the person sharing with me, like, I wrote this Bible study about leadership, Christian leadership, what Christian leadership. So we didn't start the conversation on that, but what led the conversation to that point was that we start the relationship being more personal. And I think the online does not eliminate that element. So I think it's important. Now, Exactly. And I think so that's the first point, guys, is look from the lenses of how can we use, let's take online discipleship to a relational discipleship, and let's be intentional about that. And that's the first point. We got to make the shift. We got to switch that a little bit. Jason, tell me
for you what that looks like.
Okay. So as you were talking, it reminded me of different ways that people relate to each other or especially interact with church. And I think that what you're describing isn't as much of an online phenomenon as it is just a discipleship phenomenon in general, because I believe that a lot of churches, they have the same problems with on-site physical discipleship that we do online. It's all the same. We are really good at doing broadcast one-to-many style discipleship from the pulpit in a church service. There is an element to that kind of discipleship method that is different than a small group type of discipleship method that a lot of, whether that is online or on site, that is one thing. That's another smaller group. It's another environment for discipleship. Mm-hmm. You've got the big gathering, you've got the small group, but there's two more that I think a lot of times we forget, whether it is on site or online, we forget these other two. Mm-hmm. That is one-on-one. And you just touched on it. There, when you look at the way that Jesus talked with people, there were moments in which he had large gatherings and he taught in large gatherings. There were other moments that he had of discipleship where he was just with the 12 and unpacked things deeper with them. But then there were these other catalytic moments that he had with individuals where he's talking one-on-one with people, right? Mm-hmm. We should not ignore whether we're talking about online ministry or on-site ministry. It's the same. And yes, one of the things that we have the capability of doing is interacting with people on a one-on-one basis using technology as the mediator between those conversations that most of us are already used to. Like, for, you know, a good generation, people are used to hanging, just picking up the phone. Yes. That's using technology, mediating a one-on-one conversation, right? And most pastors understand what it feels like to pray for someone over the phone. And they know that it counts.
Because
that's just ministering to people using technology, right? So what we're talking about is using, like, upscale technology, you can actually see someone's face and pray for them. That's even better, you know, but it's one-on-one. And another type of discipleship that on site we tend to use books for, or, you know, things of that nature, or even the Bible sometimes, is self-guided discipleship.
Exactly.
Now, online, we can do things like a learning management system that can do things like, you know, Glue's working on with Journey Studio, or you can have these discipleship pathways that kind of step you through an experience in a learning management thing, or you can use a Facebook group if you turn on the social learning setting inside mm-hmm. of a Facebook group and start organizing content around learning units and all of that sort of thing. That can be a self-guided way of doing discipleship as well.
Yes.
Which one should you use? All of them. Don't miss the opportunities, because each of those environments that you have for discipleship have their own set of strengths and weaknesses attached to them. But what's bad is when we tend to think that we can just use one and it will cover up all of the ones that we're not using, and it doesn't work that way.
Yes. Yeah. And I usually talk about that because,
don't know, when church asked me the question about, hey, what platform should I broadcast? I said all of them. Because people pick and choose the platform they have their preference and watch. There's people that just like to, they stay on YouTube and they're not going to go anyplace else. There are people that are just going to stay on Facebook. There are people that are just going to, like, you know, if Apple TV is going to grow exponentially now, because they're really investing in making Apple TV the thing that people are going to have home to watch. So if you don't have yet your Apple TV channel, I'm saying go for it. because it's coming a point where right now it's not that many churches that are on face on Apple TV, but pretty soon there's going to be a ton of churches on Apple TV. But Apple TV, imagine you'll be able to have, for incredibly low cost, multiple channels inside your channel where it can be a discipleship channel. And can be, and the culture today is on-demand content. They want to go in and watch. So that self-learning process is extremely important. But I also believe that you also got to open up that channel to like, okay, I learned this. Where do I go? Who can I talk to kind of share this? And being able to have those channels open is incredible. Jason, I think I just want to recap this for people to not forget. Tell us just a little bit more about the learning element on Facebook group, because I don't think many people know about that.
Oh, yeah. It's odd that it's almost like this hidden feature. If you open up a Facebook group and you go into the setting, you can make your Facebook group be a certain style of a group. And if there's, it turns on, like if it's a kind of a marketplace kind of a style, it'll turn on certain features that allow for monetization and things of that nature. You can sell things if it's gonna have a marketplace vibe to it. But the other one that I think is really great for churches is a social learning group. And when you turn that on, what happens is now a new feature opens up on the left-hand rail of your Facebook group called Learning Units. And you as the admin of your social learning group can add all of the content that is in the main feed of your group. You can categorize it into a learning unit. And what you could do then, in theory, you could use it in a lot of different ways. And here's a couple of use cases. One would be, let's say you have like a membership kind of journey that you want to take to become a member of your church. Well, you could post that in the group, right? Once, assign it to a learning unit at like unit one, unit two, unit three. You can put polls, which act as kind of like tests at the end of each of your videos that you have. And you as the admin can see who in the group has watched a certain video or taken a poll or not. And you can use that for membership. You can also use it in another group style. Like almost every Facebook group that I open up, I turn it into a social learning community because of these features. Another thing is for your volunteers. Your volunteer training could be learning units where you talk about, okay, this is how you know, engage with people in chat. And you just do that training video one time, stick it in a learning unit, and then every time a new volunteer comes in, that is their volunteer orientation videos, one after the other, in a learning unit. And you can see who's done it and who hasn't. And you can do follow-up with them and say, hey, you missed this one learning video. Make sure you take it before we put you in live on the next service. And they're like, oh, yeah, I didn't see it, whatever. You know, it's like when they watch it, they take the little quiz, and then it gives you a little response. And you can have notifications set up as the admin when someone finishes a certain learning event stuff. So there's all kinds of things like that you can take advantage of. And you could also begin to categorize content. Like, let's say you've got this sermon series that's on marriage or family, right? You could categorize that as evergreen content inside your Facebook group under the learning unit of family and marriage. So you're kind of tagging stuff now at this point. Now, you're not monitoring it necessarily, but you could if somebody were to come in and say, oh, hey, you know what? I'm really struggling with my marriage right now. And you could say, hey, that's, you know, so sorry that you're struggling. You may not know this, but last year we had an amazing series on that topic. Here's the learning unit. Do you go through it together? Sure. So they go through it and you can see how they've made progress. And so the social learning side of Facebook, for example, you could really take advantage of in that way as kind of a little bit of a self-guided learning thing, as well as a one-on-one and a group thing at the same time. It just depends on how intentional you choose to be with your online discipleship.
Exactly. And I think the greater point here is that what you just described, there's different models. But the fact is, nothing, when it comes to the online arena, nothing going to stop you from actually using all those models. It's all about how you apply them. So all of those are going to promote engagement. but most importantly, all of them are going to promote discipleship. You're going to promote the discipleship growth and discipleship that you can multiply, because that's our goal. We want to multiply discipleship to this experience. So I think that's very important, guys. I assume for some of you, you came in thinking, this guy's going to teach us how to use Zoom better. Well, Zoom is a great tool for this, but Zoom is not the only platform for discipleship. You can use Facebook Rooms, for example, but now adding the social learning aspect of groups, and we know that groups has been for a while the future for Facebook connections. You know, Facebook has been pushing everybody, organizations, to use groups. And there's so many advantages of establishing, creating a group, but now you can actually effectively create that. So a great example of that, like you just said, is like, you know, sermon series or content that we can just upload in there and allow your group and connect with your group and let everybody know, hey, this is up here. And look at that. Before, you would send people to where? YouTube. YouTube, we have all the sermon series established creators on YouTube, right? But the advantage on a Facebook right now with this is that the connection and the relational aspect of connecting with people is much greater on a Facebook environment than on YouTube
at that point.
Yes, because so, YouTube is a platform that's designed for content.
Yes.
Facebook is a platform that's designed for relationship.
Yes.
And so both of them have their strength and weakness as it relates to what they do best, right? Because, like, for example, there's very few, most people don't know this either, but you can watch on a set-top box Facebook videos, but it's not nearly as easy as it is on YouTube, right? Mm-hmm. But in Facebook, for example, they just fired up their meeting rooms, which practically does almost everything that a Zoom would do. And you can broadcast the meeting live, which auto archives in the group. And they just unlocked a feature that's rolling out now where you can upload video content and watch it together as a group inside of a meeting room. So it's kind of like having a watch party except Zoom style, right?
And now and
you can have that be broadcast live too and archive. And so think about this for a minute. A lot of times we're used to looking at just the live feed of the service while everyone chats. What if the live feed were just one box where everybody else is another box in Zoom? And now you're interacting with the content in real time in ways that you're just putting off into chat. Now it could actually be something that's a little bit closer to 1 Corinthians 14 when it says, let each of you, when you gather, each of you come with a song, an interpretation, the scripture, all of these things. You know, it's more participative, it's more interactive. That, I think, could be the future. I haven't seen that a lot yet. There's a couple of churches that are doing that within Zoom a little bit now in COVID season. But I think in Facebook, you can practically do the same thing.
Well, and I think that to that point,
Facebook rooms have the advantage of if the person doesn't have a Facebook account, they can still join, correct, that meeting. They can be part of that connection, and that's a great feature for specific meetings. One important detail of this, guys, is this. The online church become, at this point, not just one point of engagement a week, but online church becomes a 24/7 point of engagement for the people. So I think even people get locked down. Last session, we talk about engagement. And I think the difference between the online church and the physical campus, physical church, is mainly that, is that we take that 1 hour engagement that happens on a Sunday, and an online, that's going to happen anytime.
Anytime and every time.
Yeah, so and it can actually
that's key.
That it really is. I'm really glad you surfaced that particular point, because online can recapture what we find in the book of Acts, where it says they dedicated themselves daily to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, breaking the bread, and prayer. You can do that so much easier online in a daily fashion using all of the tools to maintain that connection, that sense of community,
yeah,
all throughout the week, where it on if you're just hoping that you're going to create community with 1 hour a week, man, it takes forever.
Yeah.
Hey, that is so good. It's okay, guys. Just to recap, pay attention to the discipleship models. They're out there. Facebook was a big one today during the session, and go investigate that. We'll talk more about that with you eventually, but really just pay attention to those features and use, like I said at the very beginning, use the technology to connect with people, because that's your ultimate goal when it comes to discipleship. It has to be relational. We talk about humanizing technology, and that's what this is all about, is using those tools to connect with people. Thanks so much for watching. Thanks, Jason, again, for being part of the session. We're going to jump to session 4 here soon. Thanks so much, everyone.